Okay. Right, let's start. We're going to talk about sowing and reaping. Just before we get into this, I just want to say this. I'm ending off with the previous session. I want to just say about the tithe. That's why it says in Deuteronomy, you will take your money and then you will buy whatever your heart desires, your soul lusts after, and you'll eat that before the Lord. Because the flesh that God provides, the meat that God provides for us to eat is whatever our heart desires. So that talks about communion. So when we partake of the communion and eat the flesh of Jesus, in that flesh and in that blood is whatsoever your heart desires. Amen. Jesus is your tithe, removing the curse. And what it says there, we didn't have time to go into that, it says, He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, who and what is the devourer of our fruit? It is the law. The law devours your fruit. You've got, I mean, under grace, we've got good fruit. But the Bible says when we're under the law, and we're going to look at this now with sowing and reaping, then we will find the fruit of a sin coming forth in our life. And that devours all that is good in our life. For the law was given so that sin might abound. The law was given that sin might abound. And now, and the law system devoured our lives. That's what it is. It's the devourer. So God will rebuke the devourer for our sake. By what? If the true tithe comes, the curse will be removed. The devourer will be taken away. Our fruit will not be taken away. And that word fruit there also talks about the Alpha and the Omega. Our fruit, Christ, will not be taken away. Jesus is your fruit. Jesus is your tithe. Now you might say, but the tithe belongs to God. The Bible says clearly the tithe belongs to God. It also says that the first fruit belongs to God. It also says that every male animal that is born, the first male belongs to God. So if you want to say that because the tithe belongs to God, we must bring 10% to the church, then you must bring, if you're a farmer, the cattle, the first male. You must bring your children, the first male born, to the church and offer him to the church. Because the Bible says it belongs to God. The first male born, Jesus was called the firstborn from the dead. He belongs to God. Amen. What it means is his origin is of God. It's God's doing. It's his work. Amen. That's what it talks about. That's why it's holy unto the Lord. Because Jesus was set apart for God as a high priest for mankind. Amen. So the tithe belongs to God. Yes, Jesus belongs to God. So does the first fruit, so does all those things. The Bible says the fat belongs to God. Go and if you slaughter an animal, the fat belongs to God. I'm not talking about those women grabbing here. This is God's doing. Look at it. See, God has been busy with some people. Amen. You know, I used to fast. And the other day in a church, I said, you know, there was a time when I used to fast twice a week, and then some weeks, you know, I'll fast for the whole week, and then I went like this, and they said we can still see these bearing the consequences, and that was 14 years ago. Okay, now we're talking about sowing and reaping. I want to just read one major verse on sowing and reaping, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 from verse 24. This is the best teaching on finances you can find in the Bible. It was taught by Jesus Christ himself. It carries, so much authority. It talks about the very person of God. Let me tell you this. Your provision is not found in your good conduct, but it's found in the perfection of God's character towards people. Okay? It's found in who God is. My son's, the provision for my son is not found in what he does for me. It's found in who I am. So I want to tell you, your financial provision finds its origin in who God is. And this is what Jesus tried to say here in Matthew 6. Listen to this. It says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor of your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" I mean, there the whole sowing and reaping teaching, as we've heard it for years, fell out of the bus by, and the reason is our Lord Jesus Christ and what He taught in Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, or gather into barns. Does the birds follow the principle of sowing and reaping? No. Does it say, look at the farmer. He sows and reaps. Therefore you will have if you do it. No. It says, look at the bird. He doesn't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus gives the New Testament principle, or God's principle of provision. Are you not worth more than they?
Hallelujah, man.
I like what Will said. He said, if you want to test the teaching as if it's from God, it must make you happy. So I'm sure this is of God, huh? Well, it makes me happy. So God's provision is not a works provision, but a worth provision. You are worth more to God than the birds. And the birds don't have the principle of sowing and reaping even. They don't even work. But God gives to them. So why are you worried? God will provide for you. So if you want to know the principle of provision in the New Testament, this is the principle. You are a child and you've got a loving Father that cares for you. Full stop. Amen. That's God's provision. So Bertie, how are we going to prosper? By knowing the love of God and getting your heart to be able to receive what He's willing to give to you. By seeing the heart's desire in the Father and lining your heart up with what is in His heart, and from there you receive. Amen. No, God, what are we going to do now? We know You love us and everything, but we're just going to make sure that if your love fails, we've got seed in the ground. You know what that did to my heart? It made me believe that God, there's something wrong with God. Because I wouldn't be like that towards my kids. Listen, if I find my son, if I say to my son, listen, I will buy you a car when you're 18. And I find him saving up for a car, I'm angry. You don't do that. Because why are you doing that? But Dad, maybe you don't give me a car. So you don't believe in me. So he just makes sure he's got some seed in the bank, so that if the father doesn't come through with his promise because he cannot trust the father, then he can have his car on 18 and help the father out. No. We look at the birds of the air that doesn't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the gospel. Amen. So, if you want to know how God will provide for you, you know that He's a loving Father. He cares for you. Amen. Right, let's go on. It says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to its stature? And why take you thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So what is little faith? Little faith is trying to work a spiritual principle so that God can come through for you. That's little faith. It is not no faith. It's little faith. Because you do believe that God can provide something. But it's little faith. You see, great faith, for those of you who haven't heard that teaching I've got on great faith and small faith, the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, the Greek woman. She was a Gentile. Jesus was not even allowed to speak to her, for the Jews didn't speak to the Gentiles. She came to Jesus and said, "Heal my daughter, please." Jesus said, "You are a dog. How can I give the food that belongs to the children to the dogs?" Then she said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." What was she saying? She was saying, even if I'm a dog and I'm not seen as a child, even if I disqualify according to your Jewish law, you are greater than the Jewish law. And you can provide for the one that does not qualify according to the law. Jesus said, "Great is your faith." Why? Because she did not trust her qualification. She trusted the love of the master. So here he comes, he says, "Listen, why are you worried all the time? Look at the birds, they don't work principles. But I provide for them. You are of little faith. For you cannot think, and you're looking at your qualification. Have I worked hard enough? Have I done this good enough?" Listen, you don't have to qualify by those things. He has made us qualified in the Beloved. You don't have to work a principle to get a financial breakthrough in your business. I'm not saying that you will not have a business. I'm not saying that you will not have a job. But to have a business and to have a job run successfully, it's very simple. The contract that comes your way, the finances that comes your way, is not by you working any principle before God. It's by the principle of Him loving you. And don't be of Amen. Little faith. Amen. Believe that you are qualified by the blood of Jesus and you don't have to work any principle, neither sowing and reaping. Yes. To qualify before God. Yeah. Amen. And that's just, this is, both pages he has just written in red. This is Jesus that said this. So if you're upset with this, talk to Jesus. Ask God why Jesus made this mistake by saying this thing about the birds, contradicting other scriptures in the Bible like Genesis 8 verse 22, which says seed time and harvest will be forevermore. Now Genesis 8:22 is very simple to explain. It says as long as what the earth remains, seed time and harvest will remain. Okay, and then it goes on explaining seed time and harvest. He says, cold and warm, summer and winter. So what was he explaining to Noah? Noah comes out of the ark. There's been a flood that covered the world. The world was underwater for 1 year. Okay? Now imagine a flood comes through your yard for 1 hour. How does it look? It's a mess. Now imagine it's flooded for a year. And you come out of the ark and you look at the place. Listen, that's not green Natal. Yeah. That's mud. A mess. It's like, oh God, how are we going to live? Don't worry. As long as what the earth remains, you will still function the way you used to function. You will sow your seed. You will reap. There will be seasons and everything. The earth is not so messed up that there's no more seasons. How will you live? I mean, what did Noah do? He came out and made a sacrifice to God. He says, oh God, how am I going to live? Look at this place. God says, don't worry. There will be these physical seasons by which you will live. That's all it means. That is not a principle by which we give to some faith preacher so that God can give us a breakthrough sometime. The Bible says if the true tithe came, He will open the heavens, which is Jesus. When Jesus was opened up, when the most holy place was opened up, when the body of Christ was torn upon the cross, I want to tell you, you qualified for every blessing. It's what can you believe? What can you believe? How much love is in the heart of the Father towards you? It's directed towards what you can receive by your belief. That's it. It's as simple as that. So the birds of the air clearly don't follow the principle of Genesis 8, even if it says there, even if it would mean financial sowing into the kingdom and God will bless you, the birds don't follow that. Okay. And Jesus said, look at the birds. Let's go to Galatians 6 verse 10. Talks about God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sow, that you will reap. And let's explain that. If you define the law, what is a law? A law is a principle. We do live under a law today. It's called the law of life in Christ Jesus. That means, the Bible says, when you are in Christ, it says you have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay? And then there's a law that says, if I'm clothed in Christ, I have got life. And that life is not just living forever. It is life. It talks about quality of life. It talks about the very quality of life that God possesses. Okay? So I've got the quality of life that God possesses inside me. I've clothed myself with that already. So when I believed upon Him, I've received life. And I live by that law. So what other law is there? It's the law of works. If I do this, then I will get that. So if I want to judge any teaching, if it is in line with the law of life or with the law of sin and death, ask yourself this question. Very simple. What do I need to do here in order to have life? I need to tithe, I need to sow, I need to live holy, I need to do all those things, then I will have life. If I continue to do it all my life. And then the other one is, if I'm in Christ, I have life. Amen. So if you come and you want to know the sowing and reaping teaching, if it is a law-based teaching, which will produce death, or if it's based on the cross of Jesus, just ask yourself, if I don't sow, what's going to happen? I'll be seen as a sinner. And what will happen then? I will qualify for the curse, for I will not have seed in the ground, and the future harvest there will be no fruit. Okay, and with Jesus, if I'm in Christ, the Bible says Jesus is the Word. The Bible says the Word is seed. God sowed some seed called the Word of God, and we are reaping the benefit. Amen. Amen. So sowing and reaping talks about Jesus. God sowed His Son, and we reaping life. That's the closest you can come to working the principle of sowing and reaping. Is seeing God sowing the seed, which is the Word, which produces eternal life in you. Amen. Isn't Jesus the seed? He is. The Bible says, listen to this. The promise was made to Abraham and his seed. Not as of many, but as of one. The promise was not made to the Jews. I've got a teaching on the website, go and download it, where I said we cannot replace true Israel with the Jews. The church has been the Israel of God since the beginning of time. And now there's a replacement theory where it must be replaced with some Jewish nation. That's wrong. You cannot do that. Okay? In the law time, the church, the Jews was used as a type and a shadow of the true Israel. That's very clear. Okay? That's very, very clear in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 2, who is a Jew but he that's circumcised in heart? And the Bible goes on and in Revelations 2 verse 10, it says, there are those that are of the synagogue of Satan that says they are Jews but they're not. So who's of the synagogue of Satan? Those that say they are Jews, but they are not. Who is a true Jew? He that's circumcised in heart. So who are in the synagogue of Satan? Those that say, the Jews. The Jews, the physical Jew today, and the person that believes that you are special before God because of your flesh, because you're an Israelite, is preaching from the synagogue of Satan. Why the synagogue of Satan? It's the teaching of Satan. What is the teaching of Satan? Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father is the devil. He said, you brood of vipers, you snakes. Why snakes? Because they got their doctrine from the snake. And they are a brood of vipers or a generation of snakes. The life they have is born from that condemnation, judgment message. Okay, so we cannot come with a teaching of grace here, but when it comes to finances, we go to the synagogue of Satan and hear the condemnation message there, which brings the curse, and want to preach it and think we're going to have life. The Bible says, whenever you pray, believe that you have already received. So we cannot say we shall receive. You must first believe that I have received because of Jesus. Amen. Then you can have. Amen. Don't believe that if I give, I will have. No, believe you do have. Yeah. And Jesus is, and by faith, I've got access into this grace. Right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, Verse 7. 6 says, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So what he says here in plain language is, he says, let him that is taught support the preacher. Okay? Let him support him. Okay, now that word support, go and study that word communicate in the Greek. It doesn't only mean to give money. It can imply the giving of finances. It can imply that. But it actually means to say, I stand for what he says. I give myself and what I am for what this guy says. Right, now, let's go on. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, that he shall also reap. For he that sows to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, now that verse I've used in my preaching so many times, telling people, listen, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. If you want a car, you need to give a car. I said that, and you've heard that. If you want money, you need to give money. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, he shall reap. In other words, the way I understood that was that God will not be mocked by me giving to him, and then his name is going to suffer if I don't get. Well, if that's true, then the name of God's mocked everywhere. Because there are many people that gave that didn't get. I gave and didn't get. I tell you the truth. And be honest with yourself. If it worked, you would have been a billionaire by now. Yeah. Makes me think of the lady that came to this the vending machine buying Coca-Cola. I will not say what the color of her hair was, but she was putting in money there, you know? 5 rand. Klumpsy blucky fall 8. 5 rand. And it falls out, Coke. And after buying 30 cans, the lady behind says, listen, man, don't you want to give me a chance? He says, shut up, can't you see I'm winning? She's winning, mother. You know, listen, if the sowing and reaping thing worked, you would have been very busy winning. Amen. But it doesn't work. Listen, if it works, you give 10% plus money on top, which is the seed. Okay? Then just make sure you name the seed. Because if you don't name the seed, you've wasted your money. So, you name the seed, you give it. Then, if I reap a tenfold, so I gave 100 rand this month, tenfold, 1,000 bucks extra next month. No, but it doesn't work like that. Listen, my season's here. It's monthly seasons. I can't come to the bank and say, listen, don't worry, I've got seed in the ground. Just believe with me. No, I've got monthly seasons here. The thing doesn't work. It doesn't work. It has never worked. The only place where I can find it work is because people give, then they open their heart to receive from God. Because they've qualified themselves before God. So they've produced their own Christ. by their giving. Say, this qualifies me to receive for free from God. But Jesus qualifies you.
Amen.
You can just receive. You can just receive. Amen. But Bertie, that's too easy. Who will then ever give? See, that's the thing. People have never been generous. Because they've never been taught about generosity. They've never had the opportunity to be generous. It's never been developed within them. They've never had the hope and the expectancy to say, generosity will arise within my heart. We want people to... You know what? In my church, I see people, when they deposit money, this last month, they say, guiltless or guilt-free giving. 2,000 rand. You know how that feels? I don't worry about the amount, what stood in front there. Another person, no obligation giving. Whoa! I see the fruit of God. I see this is what Paul said, I didn't want the gift, but I wanted the fruit that abounds to your accounts. We're going to look at that word as well. So here it comes, it says, if you give to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. If you support the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. What was the context of Galatians? There were people that came that was called Judaizers. The Judaizers came and made people Christian Jews. We find that in the church today, as you know. Everything becomes Jewish. Hierdie tossels wat jy dra, you know? And you just become weird, man. Listen, the law was not written to the Gentile. It was written to the Jew. Now, good manners tell you, if you see a post, in the post you go and take out a letter, it's addressed to the previous owner of the house. Good manners says, you don't read that. It's not addressed to you. Was the Gentile allowed to go into the temple and open up the most holy place, go in there, rip apart the Ark of the Covenant, take out the Ten Commandments and read? Listen, if he just walked on the premises, they would kill him. It was not for us. It wasn't for us. It's never been for us. But now we're reading the stuff. Where will you get the teaching on the tithe except in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, which was not written for us. And then was fulfilled and passed away before one Gentile ever received Jesus. What are we busy with it? It's not for us. So here he comes, he says they were Judaizers bringing the Jewish culture into the church, which taught that they had to be circumcised. The Gentiles had to be circumcised. So then Paul said, listen, the guy that teaches you, support him. And he was actually talking about the grace preachers. But then there came the grace law mixture preachers. And then Paul said, but listen, God is not mocked. Don't support the flesh guy. Because if you support the flesh preacher, you're going to die. Because that's a mocking of the cross. Coming with your teaching saying, well, the cross provided for me for all my needs, but I'm just adding this one thing in. You're just mocking the cross. It's not going to work. You're going to experience death, my friend.
Amen.
There's only two things you can reap according to this teaching. Life or death.
Yeah.
If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Doesn't talk about cars, houses, money, nothing. The context is the support of a preacher and belief in his doctrine and the effect of his doctrine in your life. That's what it says. You know, when I say it, it's 100% in line with what is written there. But in the light of what has been taught, it sounds so false. But it's true. And I said to Will and them this morning, I mean, this message I've preached hundreds of times. But last night, I had to go and prepare. Bit nervous, you know. Says, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. And I went through all the verses again. Said, God, show me. Show me if I'm wrong. Because I see Christ in every verse. I see the finished work of Jesus in these things. I see the cross, and I work with the finances of people and their eternal life. If they support me and I'm bringing death, they're going to die. The responsibility of preaching here is much bigger than that of a doctor, than that of a professor, than that of any other person. We are working with eternity and the life of people. And I want to tell you the truth, I'm not here, and I want to boast in myself, but I'm not here to build a ministry or to try and gain any favor from people. All I want to do is preach what Jesus Christ has done for you. And here he says clearly that if you support the flesh system, even if you're a Christian, if you go back supporting the flesh teaching, it's going to bring havoc in your life. And we can all testify of that. We got saved. We're so happy. Then we got under the law. And what did we reap? Death. That's what it says. Because Galatians chapter 3 goes on. Let's read from verse 1. O foolish Galatians. This is Galatians now. We're talking in context of the book. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Amen. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Now this is very, very important. There's two things. Did you receive the Holy Spirit or eternal life, the life of God, the kingdom of God entering you by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? No, the hearing of faith, believing in what is done. Okay, now let's go on. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, which is the hearing of faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh, the law? Okay, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? No, the hearing of faith. So if you started in the Spirit, the hearing of faith, why do you want to be made perfect by the flesh, the works of the law? Now it says, support the guy that preaches to you. But God's not mocked. If you give yourself to the flesh, the works of the law, you'll reap death. But if you give yourself to the Spirit, which is the hearing of faith, you'll reap life eternal. Paul was not trying to explain financial prosperity in that verse. He did not. He was explaining the effect of believing in a Judaizer's teaching. He was trying to explain the effect of believing in him, Paul, and what he preaches. That's what he was trying to say. Don't give your life. Don't give your money. Don't give your life. Don't give anything. Don't support the flesh, my friend. Don't support the flesh. These people that say send money to Israel, you know, let's send money. Let's get... Don't support him. Don't believe what he says. Don't give him money. Don't support him. Pray for the brother that he might get into the Spirit and support the man that preaches grace. Support him with your money. Support him with your heart. Spread his stuff. Preach his message.
Amen.
Amen. If you do that, you'll have life. If you don't do that and become part of the Judaizers, you're going to die. God's not mocked. Why is it mockery? Why does he use the word mocked? Because the flesh is mocking God. Why is it mocking God? It's like my son would come and say, I would say, I will buy you a car, knowing that he cannot buy his own. And then he says, listen, I'll provide for myself. And he starts to work. What is he actually doing? He's mocking my provision. He's mocking my provision. He's mocking me. My father says he can provide, I can provide for myself. I'll give to you. I'll make my own. Isn't that mocking? Yeah. Eter God, man. Yeah. You're provoking God. That's why it says your God shall not be mocked. God is not mocked. Don't think that it's not God being angry. What he's actually saying here is that this flesh teaching is opposing God. Right, so we cannot use that verse teaching money. Okay. The closest you can come to teaching money in that verse, to be in true context, is to say, it's very simple, is to say, listen, what we will reap is life in our finances if we can believe the true grace message.
Amen.
That's the closest. Okay, right. Let's go to, what's the verse there? Philippians 4, 19. You can bring that up on the board for me, please. Let's go to let's read from verse 16. It says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now let's look at verse 17. Listen to what it says here. "Not because I desire the gift, but I desire the fruit that abound to your account." So now this is how I always taught it and how I heard it. If you give, then there's fruit into your heavenly bank account. Okay? And then you've got a little bank card called faith. And then whenever you need, you withdraw. But if there's nothing in the account, you cannot withdraw. So give now so that you can have money in your heavenly bank account. Now that's not true. That's not true. Let's go over the word there, account. The Greek word 305. Yeah, that's it. Just go up there. No, just go over. Just put the cursor on it. Yeah. Okay, that's it. It's the Greek word logos. Okay? It's the very same word. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, it's the Greek word logos. In the beginning was the word. Same Greek word, logos. Doesn't say bank account. Where do we get to bank accounts? Because we are so account orientated. We're so money bank orientated. He says, "Listen, I thank God that you gave to me. And that this giving is a fruit that abounds to your word." So what he was saying, "I'm so glad that you gave towards me. Because this is the fruit that came forth from the logos that you heard, which was Jesus." It is not giving money, putting it in your heavenly bank account, withdrawing every now and then there's always something wrong with the card or the machine is offline. No. I tell you that heavenly bank, I tell you those people, they only work 1 hour a day. I tell you, I've tried to draw there on that system. It doesn't work. I just feel so condemned. No, no, it talks about. And then let's look at how God provides. Verse 19. "But my God shall supply or provide for all your needs." How? "In accordance to your sowing." "According to his riches." "In his glory." Now glory is his goodness. "By your giving." No, no, by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all Jesus, people. It's all Jesus. That verse does not talk about, in the next session we're going to talk about New Testament giving. So don't go away. The people that go now, they're dodging. You cannot go. You want to be really free. Amen. You're going to be so blessed when I teach you, teach New Testament giving. You're going to feel the same liberty. Amen. So what it says here, we cannot use that verse for sowing and reaping, saying we know if we pay into the heavenly bank account, then God's going to provide for us. How much money do you have in your account? You know what I've got in heaven? I've got the riches of God, the glory of God. And He's provided to me. How? By the coming of His Son. His Son came for me, rented the heavens open, and gave all the blessings to me, so that I, by faith, enter into His grace, believing what is given to me. And as I believe how righteous I've been made, how I, as I beheld who I am, looking into the very glory of Jesus, I find generosity rising up in my heart, and I give to somebody. And then He writes back to me and say, how beautiful to see the effect of the gospel in your life. And then He says, I just want to make sure that you know this. God meets your needs, not in accordance to your giving to me, but in accordance to His riches and glory. I mean, Paul didn't say, hallelujah, thank you for giving to me, and now you've got money in the bank account, and God will meet your need 100-fold according to the money you've sown now. But that's what I've preached. That's what's being preached today. It's just a lie. It's not the truth. And very good men with honest hearts, good women with honest hearts that want to see the kingdom expand, has been caught in this lie. They're not bad. It's just what they preach that's bad. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If that thing doesn't gel with the finished work of the cross, if you don't get the emotion of peace, the word peace means no indebtedness, not the emotion of having no debt. That's the word peace. When you hear a teaching on finances and God providing for you, the emotion of, oh, I qualify for all the blessings because of Jesus, must captivate your mind and your heart. If it's not that, my friends, not the gospel, I don't care how shiny the preacher's suit is or what he drives. Most of the time, what we drive and what we wear is a memorial that we've raised to the abuse that we've done to the church. That's it. We've raised up big memorials to our manipulation and control, instead of having people free. But I tell you, the time has come for the church to be free when it comes to finances. The time has come for the fruit of God to multiply in our life. The time has come where giving will come forth from the new person, from Christ giving through us. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just end off with explaining this verse quickly. You can also go to my website and study this, this in-depth study on this. There's a verse that says, God, this one that says God is not mocked, but there's another one that says if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. I know I'm going a bit over time, but let's do it. What about that verse in 2 Corinthians? There's three verses I've missed out here now. It says clearly there, this is the context. If you don't understand the context, you cannot understand that verse. If you read it with what I must do to get God to bless me, you're going to read, I must give money, and if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap money sparingly. But that's not the context. The context was this. The church in Corinth told Paul, go and read 2 Corinthians 8. I'm not going to read it now. Go and study it for yourself. This is what it says. The church in Corinth was so blessed by the word of God, and the grace of God abounded in them, that they said, we want to give to the poor churches in Jerusalem. The poor churches. We want to give to them, take up an offering for them, or take up money for them. Okay? We want to give it so they can be blessed. And they made such a promise, and there was such a big hoo-ha made out of the thing, that the churches in Macedonia heard about this. And the churches in Macedonia were poor people. 2 Corinthians 8:1, we're going to read in the next session. They were poor people. And when they heard this, plus they heard the preaching of the gospel, the Bible says that grace abounded over them. And they gave towards the poor churches in Jerusalem. So now they were so happy that they said, we are going with Titus. I think it's Titus. I don't know who the guy is. And we are coming with Paul and all these people to collect the money promised by the church in Corinth. But now the church in Corinth hasn't given a dime. Now Paul had a problem. Because here are the rich people, which to which we preach the gospel of grace, which made promises that inspired these people to give. But now they're not giving anything. So now they've got, he said, listen, I'm sending somebody beforehand to make up your bounty. So that when we get there, that is already made. Why? Because we don't want this, we don't want the word about this church to be a bad word. We want your righteousness to go forth all over the place as the fruit of God. Then he says, God gives, and this is what he explains, God gives seed to the sower, and you must read this in the message, that becomes bread on your table. So, to one person he gives seed, and this seed is then transformed into bread. He says, in the same way, I pray that God will multiply the grace on your life so that your giving can increase so that the word of your righteousness might multiply. Become more. And then he quotes from Proverbs. He says, as it is written, the righteousness of the man that gives lives forever. So the context of what we reap when we sow is the word of how good we are and the effect of the gospel. Let me explain to this way. Nelson Mandela came to South Africa, or when he was here, and in the elections and everything. He said, we're not going to make war. We're not going to chase the whites. Okay? And he had a good work of righteousness. Okay? Talk about worldly righteousness. He was good. And his goodness will stand forever. Isn't it? His goodness will stand forever. Why? Because the righteousness of him that gives stands forevermore. He quotes, that's the whole context of 2 Corinthians, sowing and reaping sparingly is taken from Proverbs. And he explains the righteousness of somebody who doesn't hoard up for himself, but gives. Then it says this, there is he that has, he gathers, but he's got nothing. But there's him that gives, and he's got more than enough. Now I want you to make a calculation. If I give to everybody here R1,000, and you just keep your R1,000, how much do you have as pertaining to generosity if you just keep your money? Nothing. There's him that keeps, that's got nothing. And the context is not God and you. The context is people and you. Because you promised, imagine now, you promised, I will give money to those people. Now you keep your money. You don't give it. Okay? How much will you have in the word of generosity in the eyes of those that you promised? Nothing. But the Bible says there's he that gives everything away, or a lot away, and has a lot. Now what does that mean? I will give that money as I promised, and a lot of good word will be spoken of me. The fruit will abound to my account. That's how the money that I have, that's the same thing as you take seed that I sow. The money that I give is seed that I sow. What do I reap? A word of righteousness over my life by people. That's the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I took a 5-6 month study in that, and you can go and read it. Go and study it out. That's what it says. Unfortunately, I don't have, that's an hour and a half to our teaching to explain it verse by verse for you. But that is what it says. Go and read it with that mindset. It says, I pray. He says, this is what I pray, that the grace of God may abound over you, that your giving might increase, so that the fruit of your righteousness might increase. That's what it says. You can read it like that. That's what's written there. You can go to Matthew 7 as well. There Jesus talks about if you give and it shall be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall fall out of heaven. No, that's not what it says. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give unto you. So what's the context? It's not money. The context was forgiveness. Forgive and don't judge. It says, don't judge. Forgive. Okay? Give What must I give? Forgiveness. And I will reap from people forgiveness. The context is not God. God came and gave His Son and forgave mankind in the Lamb of God. Do you think you can be forgiven by how you forgive? No. You forgive by how you've been forgiven. The law prayer says, God, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Paul writes, it says, forgive as you have been forgiven. Amen. Remember the Lord's Prayer? They came to Jesus. Teach us how to pray. What prayer were they asking for? They said, John teaches his people how to pray. What did they teach them? A prayer to recite. That's what they pray. I mean, do you want a prayer? But you must obsess as a papagaai. No ways. But that's what they asked of Jesus. So Jesus did his best. And said something that spoke of the kingdom to come, which was fulfilled in the coming of the Lord anyway. Under the Old Testament, you could not be forgiven unless you forgive. You could not. You could not. Everything was works orientated, and that was that prayer. And thank God it has been fulfilled in Christ. Amen. You never find Paul the Apostle ever praying that prayer. Never. Amen. So, sowing and reaping, quickly to wrap it up, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, gather into barns. They don't work that principle. How does God provide for us? By our worth determined and defined in Christ. And how much can I receive? What can your heart allow yourself to have? Okay? We're going to talk about that in our next session. Right? Next verse there, Galatians. God is not mocked. Don't support the law thing. Don't believe in the law thing. It will kill you. Heavenly bank account. There's not such a thing. It's the fruit that abounded to the word that we preached to you because you gave out of the generosity of your heart. 2 Corinthians 8, sowing and reaping. How does sowing and reaping work? Very simple in that thing. You promise, do what you promise so that you can have a good word over your life from people. Because we want the word of grace to have a good word. You know, it's always been the church is stingy. The church people you don't do business with because you want a good word. And that's the context. Amen. Right. Take a 10-minute break. Only 10 minutes, please. Yeah.